from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. You can be the quarterback of this segment. That's 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Sorry, I gave out the wrong number. That's my show in Richmond. I'm going to talk a little Wimbledon as American Ben Shelton advances to the next round and also sets a tournament record. We'll talk a little Wimbledon and talk about the Americans later on in the show today. It is also, like I told you, I want to talk fireworks. What makes them so cool? Why are they so awesome? We love them every July 4th weekend. But joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that bet without checking with BetQL, because the folks at BetQL analyze every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. You get 3 free days of access, or visit the website BetQL.com. On the BetQL guest hotline from the Team 980, it's Craig Hoffman. What's going on, Craig?
What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good here. I'm looking forward to training camp, so let's get into it right here. What do you think is going to be the most intense position battle?
Oh, it's got to be left tackle. It's also the most significant one, which probably those two things are related. But I think we can probably name, 20 of the 22 starters. Like, I think there's one cornerback job between, let's call it, 3 guys that's up for debate. But really, left tackle is the other spot that we just don't know. Of course, there's, as Joe Witt will like to remind you, there's more than 11 starters on defense, and some of the positional, groupings and things offensively, what happens when they're 3 wide, 2 tight end, all these kind of different amalgamations of a quote unquote starting lineup. But realistically, of your base offense and defense, I think that those cornerback spots, on the outside between Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Juice, and Emmanuel Forbes are up for a battle, 3 guys, 2 spots. And then left tackle, Brandon Coleman, the rookie out of TCU, Trent Scott, I think is still in the mix, name that doesn't get mentioned a lot. And then obviously Cornelius Lucas, the veteran swing tackle for this team for years. Can he finally break through and be a starter / hold off the rookie? So I think that's the spot that all eyes are going to be on, especially considering you're protecting a rookie quarterback's blind side, assuming that there isn't much of a position battle at quarterback where Jaden Daniels is going to be QB1.
Yeah, and Craig, I keep saying that the left tackle that plays this season might not be on the roster right now. This could be where they bring somebody in later in training camp or before preseason. But, I mean, I also expect them to draft a left tackle next season as it's part of a plan here to build out throughout the next few off seasons. How close will the safety battle be, Craig?
That's a good question, because I think there's going to be a lot of different guys that play at safety. So if you talk about the starters, it's probably Quan Martin and Jeremy Chinn. Like, I think those are the two safeties that by the end of the year have the highest percent of snaps played. But then you have guys like Derek Forrest that'll play quite a bit. Percy Butler will play. Dominique Hampton, I think, has a role on this team. Jeremy Reeves might have a role, and certainly is going to be a backup at multiple spots. So I think what we've seen with Dan Quinn in Dallas, and obviously Joe Witt was there, and I assume will bring the same philosophy, is versatility is key. And different roles call for different skill sets, and they've got a bunch of guys with different and complementary skill sets. So I think ultimately, like, Quan Martin will play some in the nickel, some as a Buffalo nickel, some as a deep post safety. Jeremy Chinn, same thing. Derek Forrest, I think, same thing. He's played some of the box in the spring, but also can obviously play over the top. When they need like a rangy single high safety, I think Percy Butler gets the call on some of those. A dime linebacker, which is also a safety body type, like Dominique Campton, is gonna get some snaps there. So I think those five guys will all play. And how the rotation of those guys plays week in and week out will probably be more opponent and game plan dependent than it will the performance of any single one of them.
The way you spoke about Quan Martin, Craig, makes me think he's probably the answer to my next question. Which of last year's picks is most impactful this year?
Yeah, he's probably the right answer. I mean, I hope that Forbes is giving him a run for his money. Clearly, if you can get him to play in this system the way they want, his ball production that he had in college seems like it would be a great fit. Of course, there's a physicality that you need to have and, you know, an ability to play in the run game and some of the things that Emmanuel Forbes struggled with that could keep him off the field entirely. So I think Quan is the guy that like most fits what Dan Quinn wants and Adam Peters wants. And I've told this story a couple of times on air, Adam, but I don't know that we've talked about it. There was kind of this very easy to see differentiation in the spring when you're out there in Ashburn, where you can see that guy was brought in by Adam Peters. That guy was here before.
Yeah.
And just the bigger body types that they crave to play and what they believe in, you know, size, physicality, speed, all those attributes, but it
violence.
Starts off with that size. Yeah. I mean, they want to arrive with bad intentions, and it's easier to do that if you're a bigger dude. And you think about San Francisco and how Adam helped build that team and the size that they have positionally at each position. And I think Quan fits that. Like, he's a bigger dude, and he's not like tall, but stature wise, like, he's built. And I think he doesn't stick out as much as a guy like Forbes or some of the other players where you're like, that dude's a little bit smaller than some of the other guys that they seem to like when they signed the contract as opposed to inherited it.
Craig Hoffman here with us on the BetQL guest hotline from the Team 980. I'm Adam Epstein. It's A-Wide Radio. You can check me out Monday through Friday in Richmond, always available on that Odyssey app. And Craig, player you're looking forward to watching, covering, interview most, my producer and I, we're on the same page. We're both fired up for Luke McCaffrey.
Oh, I've interviewed Luke. He was great. People can check that out in my podcast feed at the Hoffman Show. He's a lot of fun to talk to. Just a gregarious guy. He loves the game. Like, he obviously grew up around it with his dad, and you know, competing with his brother. And he's you know, the kind of guy that says, "Hey, Jaden Daniels, what time are you getting to the building? I hear it's early. 5:30. Okay, I'll see you there tomorrow." Not, "Can I see you? Can I come with you?" It's like, "Okay, cool." And then he just shows up. And that's Luke McCaffrey. I also think he's a continual transformation guy. He was a quarterback not that long ago at Nebraska, goes to Rice, becomes a receiver. And I think he's still learning that position. But he's a guy that they have to scale back some because he plays so hard every single snap. And you're like, no. You don't need to play, like, you need to play hard every snap, but you don't need to play hard every part of every snap. You don't need everything to be a full sprint. You need to learn how to tempo routes. You need to learn the timing, how to set guys up and some of the nuance of the position. As Logan has called it, Logan Paulson, my co-host on Take Command, of course, longtime Commanders tight end, he said that Zach Ertz understands the dark arts of route running. Luke McCaffrey still doesn't understand the dark arts of route running, but he's really smart and he's going to learn them. And guys like Ertz can help teach him, not to mention Bobby Engram, the wide receivers coach. So I think that's a great call. I mean, Jaden's a lot of fun too. Like, he's, you know, unfortunately, the only time I got to talk to Jaden one-on-one was draft night, and it's just such an overwhelming experience. But like, seeing the press conferences since then, seeing how he interacts with teammates, all that kind of stuff, I'm excited to continually get to talk to and watch his development. But this rookie class is great. There's a bunch of great dudes, a bunch of great stories, and Luke is certainly right up there amongst the top.
With Jaden Daniels, how much do you expect him running as part of the game plan throughout training camp? I know some people were telling me that, you know, when Robert Griffin was here that rookie year, they kind of hit it, and then, boom, week one, they showed that he has the ability to run. We know Jaden can run. How much do you think they're going to work on that in training camp?
I think some, not a ton, but I also think that's going to match what they do. I mean, the problem with Robert was his pass game ability was fairly limited. Obviously, he had arm talent, and they figured out how to leverage the running, both of him, like his running ability, to then create a monster in Alfred Morris and then use their run game to leverage big plays in the passing game. I think Jaden is much more developed as a passer. They're very, very different players despite these similar statures. And so because he's got a more complex menu, if you will, to choose from on the pass game, that's going to be the thing they major in offensively. They'd be very silly not to use the run game some, because it does create a lot of schematic advantages for you when defenses are scared that the quarterback will run. They can only play a select amount of coverages. They don't want to do anything too complex up front where they accidentally have a blitzer that leaves a gap open somewhere, and all of a sudden that's the gap that a quarterback design run goes through, and now you're talking about, with a guy like Jaden, a 70-yard game, because once he gets going, good luck catching him. So I think that there will be some. We saw a little bit in the spring, some QB powers, some read option, but I also think that you'll see some RPO stuff where he can pass off of that. So again, some, but it won't be what they major in, not only in camp, but I think during the season.
Craig, really appreciate you taking the time, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good rest of your show, and enjoy everybody listening to Adam talk about 153 mile per hour serves.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, just after 11:15 here on a Saturday, July 6th. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. Donald running the ones and twos behind the glass. He'll get you on hold, and you could be the quarterback of this segment. Talking all things DC sports here. Let's go to Mitch on line one. Mitch in Jersey, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
What's popping, Adam? Hope you had a good fourth.
What's going on? What's popping, Mitch? How are you?
This heat, man. I guess I should walk 5 o'clock in the morning instead of 11:15 here. Trying to do my commitment here, but it's crazy. Well, you had a smorgasbord of all these sports, so I'll just keep it down to two. Hope the Nets, they got some talent. If they're not going to be buyers, then let's bring up the talent from down in the minors. Just throw them in the fire. Keep Wood, and I hope it doesn't go like Soto and Harper and Trey Turner. You know, I think James Woodman, he reminds me of Adam Dunn, just a little faster. And over with basketball, I think, the Wizards, you got to like this guy, be the best draft I think he's ever done. They got 4 new guys just in the first round. I forgot already who was in the second round. And you should keep Kuzma. I think they should start on 5. Thanks for taking my call, and have a nice weekend.
Yeah, Mitch, good call, man. I want to touch on the Nats for a second, because I've been talking about this with some friends here. Do they call up Dylan Cruz? Do they rush him to the bigs alongside James Wood? And I just think, you know, you want to time it right here. And I think the Nats are going to be sellers at the trade deadline, but I don't think they want to bring up all the prospects and lose some of the veteran leadership that they have in the clubhouse. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they part with Lane Thomas. I think he is definitely a candidate that could be sold if they're sellers at the trade deadline, but also a guy that I do really like as well on the roster. With the Wizards, I mean, I'm so fired up. This could be one of the best drafts that they've had, you know, in the last 15 years. The fact that they got not one, not two, but maybe 3 impactful players. I'm really excited about the first two, Alex Starr and Bub Carrington. Remember the name Bub from Baltimore, Maryland, because I think in 6 days when you see him for the first time in summer league, you're going to fall in love with him. And then throughout this season, he's just going to put up points in bunches. You know, Chase talked about it. He is one of those guys that loves to shoot off the dribble, and that skill is going to always be alive in the NBA. If you can create your own shot and score going one-on-one, they're going to have a spot for you in the league. Let's go back to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. We've got Lou in Arlington. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Adam. Great show. Thanks for taking my call. I agree with the previous caller. I think the Nats have a lot of talent, and if they would just manage to run the bases a little bit better. I mean, remember what your Little League manager told you to do, right? They would be wild card contenders now, and they'd be forcing Rizzo to think, who do I sell and maybe who do I buy at the trade deadline? But instead, they're running their way out of games, and they're driving us all to drink.
But don't you think it's a little too early to be competing for a wild card spot and actually be ready to go all in right now?
It's never too early to win, you know? Everybody else is ready to win. Why does winning have to be a 10-year project for us, you know?
Yeah.
The Phillies picked up three of our players. They seem to be doing fine, you know? They're in win-now mode all the time, you know? And they're not that much of a bigger city than we are. So I just don't see it. But and you know, I want to give Rizzo some credit. He got a big haul for some of these trades when he stripped our championship team down to the studs.
Yeah.
He got a great haul. But now I want to see some accountability. I want to see some of these magic beans turn into beanstalks. I don't want to talk about prospects anymore. I don't want to talk about the future. I want to talk about winning baseball. And if you're going to put on a major league jersey, you know, particularly if you're going to be a base running expert, right, a specific player like the guy they subbed in last night, then you can't get doubled off on third with one out. You just can't. If that's your only skill, you know, pretty soon you're going to be selling beer in the stands if you can't manage to run the bases better than that. And, you know, it's just a shame. Again, lots of talent. I'd just like to see him not making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Maybe learning from mistakes somebody else made. You
know? I totally feel the frustrations, man. I appreciate the call. Believe me, I thought we were going to be talking about a Nats team that was on a three-game win streak and should have won five in a row if it wasn't for the two extra-inning losses to the Mets. So, a frustrating loss to the Cardinals. There's going to be their ups and downs. I would also say, you know, Josiah Gray needs to get back into the lineup if this is a Nats team that's going to compete for the postseason. That's why it's probably a year too soon. I appreciate everybody chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. I wanted to get to this Wimbledon story here about American Ben Shelton, who advances to the fourth round, and he will have a really cool matchup against Yannick Sinner, the best young Italian in the world right now. But how awesome has it been to watch Ben Shelton play? And so if you have not been paying attention, Ben Shelton is the youngest American that's competing in Wimbledon, and he has grown so much. We saw him kind of step onto the scene last year when he, you know, did the picks up the phone and then hangs up on someone bit there to celebrate. But think about this for a second. So Ben Shelton is in the fourth round now and has done it in three of his first eight Grand Slams. Federer, Djokovic, Nadal didn't do that. He has parts of his game that aren't there yet, but his serve is one of the most incredible things in sports right now. He hit a serve 153 miles an hour. It was the fastest serve in Wimbledon history. The ninth fastest serve ever on the list, and the fifth fastest ATP recognized. It needs to make headlines how awesome Ben Shelton is. I also think it's very cool that he's a father-son story. So his dad, Brian Shelton, was the head coach at University of Florida and won a national championship in 2021, and then decided he wanted to embark on a new journey, coaching his son Ben on the ATP tour. And I just think that's an awesome father-son duo, and it's really cool to see an American having success there in Wimbledon. We have not won in 20-plus years, haven't won a Grand Slam in American in 20-plus years since Andy Roddick did it at the U.S. Open in 2003. So it's been so long since an American has had success. Francis Tiafoe blew an opportunity to defeat Carlos Alcaraz yesterday. He's a local kid from Maryland, and I've met Tiafo, interviewed him. He's such a sweet guy. But, man, does it feel like his entire career is filled with fifth-set losses to big names. And that was another one to Carlos Alcaraz, who played basically a C-plus game, was awful in the first three sets. Had Tiafo had every opportunity in the world to win the fourth set there, couldn't do it in the tiebreak, and then loses in the fifth set 6-2. And so he's out of Wimbledon. At least it was a better showing for the former number 10 overall American, who's just been really bad the last year and a half in major matches. And so the tennis continues today in Wimbledon. I know that it's the dog days of summer. There's not, you know, great sports in the world to watch right now. I know everybody's waiting for college football and the NFL to return, but I always enjoy Wimbledon because it's so tough to play on grass. It's so quick. It really shows who's got speed, who's got the arm speed, quickness to get to the net, and who will dominate there. American Taylor Fritz has a match that will begin in just about an hour, as he is one of the only other Americans in it besides Ben Shelton here. I've been a big fan of Tommy Paul, and so Tommy Paul is also in it. He's the top-ranked American. He won yesterday, and so his fourth-round matchup will be tomorrow morning against Roberto Bautista Agut, who's a really good Spanish tennis player. And so Ben Shelton's next match will be against Yannick Sinner, and that will be early on July 8th, I believe. And so we'll see how many Americans can advance here. We're in the middle of round three. We got round four action tomorrow. Can we get American to the quarterfinals? Possibly even an American to the semifinals. I think that's all we can hope for here with Wimbledon 2024. Wanted to pose a question here to the audience as we close out the show with two final segments on a July 4th weekend. All right, July 4th weekend. I want to know who you think is the most influential American athlete of all time. Not the greatest American athlete, the most influential U.S. athlete of all time. 1-800-636-1067. Help me answer that question coming up next on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet me at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Here on a July 4th holiday weekend, we wanted to ask, who do you think is the most influential U.S. athlete of all time? I get people are going to have their own three. People are going to have different answers based on their age, their generation, or their personal favorite, what their favorite sport is. But every opinion matters. You can have your point be heard right here now on 106.7 The Fan. 1-800-636-1067. I think I'll start the conversation, Donald, with who I think needs to be mentioned as the big three, in my opinion. And you can tell me what comes to mind for you right away. But I'll say Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali. I think that's how you kind of start the conversation of most influential U.S. athlete ever.
Yeah, so I had two out of three of those. I agree Babe Ruth was not in mine, but I do like that one. The other one I was thinking about was Bill Russell for me.
Good one. Yeah, I like that as well.
So that would probably be my big three is Ali, Bill Russell, and Michael Jordan.
Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. We'll start with line three. Steve in Bowie. What's up, Steve?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Okay. Happy July 4th weekend.
Happy July 4th to you as well. You already mentioned one of mine, which was Muhammad Ali, and we all know why, for his social stance on many different issues. I'm going to add another fella into that you might not have thought about since we're on the tennis topic today. I'm going to add John McEnroe into that. Now, I'm not going to put McEnroe in his playing days, even though I loved him as a player. I mean, I loved his rants. I loved everything about McEnroe. McEnroe has a tennis school up in New York now, and he's doing everything he can to just change the sport, put all kinds of different kids in the sport from all over the world. I'm going to put John McEnroe in there at the second part of his life for what he's doing now.
Hey, if we're mentioning tennis, guys, I got to throw out Arthur Ashe, born in Richmond, Virginia. You know, one of the most influential as the first African-American man to win the U.S. Open. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Paul in D.C. Paul, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, man? I mean, let me say this. You had two of the three with Bill Russell and Muhammad Ali. Of course, Muhammad Ali made this country look at itself and understand what we're supposed to be as a greater country. I think Bill Russell definitely dealt with the civil rights movement by refusing to eat at restaurants that didn't accept African-Americans, and Rear Auerbach kind of backed him. But I'm going to give you an honorable mention that many people forget, Jesse Owens. When Jesse Owens ran the Olympics, Hitler said that African-Americans were not on the same length as white athletes. And he came over there. Not only did he win four gold medals, but he broke world records and proved that situation wrong.
Yeah. No, good list, Paul, but let me ask you a question. Why didn't you not include Michael Jordan? I mean, everybody's still wearing Jordan brand clothes. The game of basketball has changed because of him. That's why he made my list.
Well, let me say this. When I think of influential, I'm thinking about people who made impact outside of the arena of the sport. Michael Jordan is without a doubt if that's the greatest basketball player. I still say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Once again, Kareem trumps him not only because of his six rings as well, but because of what he stood for outside of the arena of basketball.
Yeah. No, you're Jordan right about Michael. Michael didn't get political, but I will say he had a huge influence on, like, style, too. So you have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, yeah, but style don't matter over substance.
Yeah.
Look, to tell people that Republicans win Nike too is not moving the needle. That's not moving the needle, right?
Yeah. Okay. Good call, Paul. I appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to Scott in Silver Spring. Scott, who is the most influential U.S. athlete of all time?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Jackie Robinson, Ali, and Jordan. And if I'm going with a home run hitter, it's going to be Hank Aaron. I'm not Babe Ruth. You know, he was the guy in his day, but Hank Aaron topped him. So, you know, that's my thing.
Scott, let me ask you this. When did you first start hearing about the stories of Jackie Robinson and had that influence your life?
Well, I'm 55, so I started hearing about Jackie early. And, I mean, I was impressed by his demeanor, how he carried himself, how he didn't let what was going on around him. He knew what he was doing was bigger than him. Mm-hmm. So he let the stuff that people were saying or doing to him bother him. He knew what he was doing. He was breaking through, and he made baseball a better game.
Mm-hmm. Well, him and you. Yeah, good call, Scott. Appreciate you chiming in. Let's keep it going here. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Mark in Landover. What's going on, Mark?
What's happening, A-Wad? Great show, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, man, there's only one for me, my friend, and that would be one of the guys you picked in your three, and I'm not going to even say the other two because for me, in my lifetime, it is my man, Muhammad Ali. Some people remember him as Cassius Clay because of the overall effect he had on the country, and not just the country, the whole world. And let us not forget, the guys who were on his team were from many, many socioeconomic racial groups, and they bonded together. And hey, don't forget either, Adam. He lost and came back, and they were some of the most spectacular fights that we've ever seen. The boxing game has changed. I was lucky to see some of the best there ever was, and I believe Mr. Bert Sugar would back me up on that. Great show, Adam. I'll get off of here so we can listen to some of the other people. And I know your phones are ringing off the hook, buddy. Take care now.
Thanks,
Mark. Hang in there, heavy metal.
Good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Jake tweets me, AWOD, how are you forgetting about our American hero, Joey Chestnut? Donald, what do you think about that? Has he influenced the way you eat hot dogs?
I mean, I know a lot of people were bummed out. This was the first year he didn't compete in, like, since, like, I think 2005 or something like that. So
I actually think it was better to watch because you didn't know who was going to win.
Right.
I mean, with Joey. Now, I did see, though, this is the ultimate Joey Chestnut. He streamed himself doing his own competition outside of Nathan's. And he had like 57 hot dogs in 5 minutes. And I think somebody won with 58 in 10 minutes. So he's still the GOAT. but I'm not interested in his dumb Netflix special. I can't believe he didn't work it out with Nathan's. He had to promote a vegan dog and get himself knocked out of the competition. Come on, man. Do better than that. Dwayne tweets me, the most influential has to be Muhammad Ali. He has basically been adopted as a citizen of the world. Yeah, great point. Once again, my big three was MJ, and that's just because how much he influenced my life with my love for basketball, flying in the air, and style. Obviously, Babe Ruth. You know, I was watching The Sandlot last night. I feel like that's one of the best July 4th sports movies. In fact, Donald, let me just mention this. I went through a marathon the last few days of my favorite sports movies here on July 4th weekend. So I started with The Sandlot. I think a lot of people would agree, one of the greatest sports movies of all time.
Definitely.
And a really good July 4th one, because people forget that they light fireworks, and for the 10 minutes they're lighting fireworks, the kids run to the playground in the 50s where it took place, and they play backyard baseball using the fireworks as the lights in the background. So that's really cool. Next, I watched my favorite movie. I hope you can name it, Donald, with me just saying this. Quack, 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 quack. Quack!
Mighty
quack.
Ducks, baby.
Mighty Ducks, one of my favorites. Gordon Bombay. Make him make the first move, Conway. And then after that, I watched Invincible. Now, I do hate the Eagles, but Invincible is such a cool story. I'm 31 years old right now. It's the story of a 30-year-old bartender who makes the Philadelphia Eagles and plays in the NFL for 3 seasons. I mean, is that not inspiring or what, man?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love Invincible. That's a good movie. Can I throw a honorable mention? I haven't watched it in a while, but I was just thinking about sports movies. I love Coach Carter.
Yeah.
That's a really good inspirational story. I love Sam Jackson and his role in that. I'll throw an honorable
Tanning
mention.
Tatum's really good in that one, too.
Yep, he is. Yeah, so I'll throw an honorable mention for Coach Carter for me.
Yeah, honorable mention, Remember the Titans has to be thrown out there as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It pisses me off when I drive to my dad's house, though. It doesn't say T.C. Williams. It says Alexandria City High School. I get it. Yeah, they wanted to change it, but there was something iconic about T.C. Williams, the school. Not T.C. Williams, the person, but T.C. Williams, the high school in Northern Virginia.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
And we were talking about Michael Jordan. I guess you got to throw Space Jam in there, right?
Oh, I can always watch Space Jam any day, any time. I refuse to watch Space Jam 2 again. I mean, my goodness. The villain was Algorithm. It was just so lame. LeBron, do better. Maybe Bronny James can come out with Space Jam 3 if he ever makes it to the league. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet me at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Here on a July 4th holiday weekend, we wanted to ask, who do you think is the most influential U.S. athlete of all time? I get people are going to have their own three. People are going to have different answers based on their age, their generation, or their personal favorite, what their favorite sport is. But every opinion matters. You can have your point be heard right here now on 106.7 The Fan, 1-800-636-1067. I think I'll start the conversation, Donald, with who I think needs to be mentioned as the big three, in my opinion. And you can tell me what comes to mind for you right away. But I'll say Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali. I think that's how you kind of start the conversation of most influential U.S. athlete ever.
Yeah, so I had two out of three of those. I agree, Babe Ruth was not in mine, but I do like that one. The other one I was thinking about was Bill Russell for me.
Good one. Yeah, I like that as well.
So that would probably be my big three is Ali, Bill Russell, and Michael Jordan.
Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. We'll start with line three, Steve in Bowie. What's up, Steve?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Okay. Happy July 4th weekend.
Happy July 4th to you as well. You already mentioned one of mine, which was Muhammad Ali, and we all know why, for his social stance on many different issues. I'm going to add another fella into that you might not have thought about since we're on the tennis topic today. I'm going to add John McEnroe into that. Now, I'm not going to put McEnroe in his playing days, even though I loved him as a player. I mean, I loved his rants. I loved everything about McEnroe. McEnroe has a tennis school up in New York now, and he's doing everything he can to just change the sport, put all kinds of different kids in the sport from all over the world. I'm going to put John McEnroe in there at the second part of his life for what he's doing now.
Hey, if we're mentioning tennis, that. Guys, I got to throw out Arthur Ashe, born in Richmond, Virginia, one of the most influential as the first African-American man to win the U.S. Open. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Paul in D.C. Paul, you're on the fan.
Hey, how you doing, man? I mean, let me say this. You had two of the three with Bill Russell and Muhammad Ali. Of course, Muhammad Ali made this country look at itself and understand what we're supposed to be as a greater country. I think Bill Russell definitely dealt with the civil rights movement by refusing to eat at restaurants that didn't accept African-Americans, and Rare Auerbach kind of backed him. But I'm going to give you an honorable mention that many people forget, Jesse Owens. When Jesse Owens ran the Olympics, Hitler said that African-Americans were not on the same length as white athletes, and he came over there. Not only did he win four gold medals, but he broke world records and proved that situation wrong.
Yeah. No, good list, Paul, but let me ask you a question. Why did you not include Michael Jordan? I mean, everybody's still wearing Jordan brand clothes. The game of basketball has changed because of him. That's why he made my list.
Well, let me say this. When I think of influential, I'm thinking about people who made impact outside of the arena of the sport. Michael Jordan is without a doubt, if that's the greatest basketball player. I still say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Once again, Kareem trumps him not only because of his six rings as well, but because of what he stood for outside of the arena of basketball.
Michael. Michael didn't get political, but I will say he had a huge influence on, like, style, too. So you have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, but style don't matter over substance.
Yeah.
Look, to tell people that Republicans wear Nike too is not moving the needle. That's not moving the needle, right?
Yeah. Okay. Good call, Paul. I appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to Scott in Silver Spring. Scott, who is the most influential U.S. athlete of all time?
I'm going to have to go with Jackie Robinson, Ali, and Jordan. And if I'm going with a home run hitter, it's going to be Hank Aaron. I'm not Babe Ruth. You know, he was the guy in his day, but Hank Aaron topped him. So, you know, that's my thing.
Scott, let me ask you this. When did you first start hearing about the stories of Jackie Robinson and had that influence your life?
Well, I'm 55, so I started hearing about Jackie early. And, I was impressed by his demeanor, how he carried himself, how he didn't let what was going on around him. He knew what he was doing was bigger than him. Mm-hmm. So he let the stuff that people were saying or doing to him bother him. He knew what he was doing. He was breaking through, and he made baseball a better game.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, good call, Scott. Appreciate you chiming in. Let's keep it going here. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Mark in Landover. What's going on, Mark?
What's happening, A-Wad? Great show, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, man, there's only one for me, my friend, and that would be one of the guys you picked in your three, and I'm not going to even say the other two because for me, in my lifetime, it is my man, Muhammad Ali. Some people remember him as Cassius Clay because of the overall effect he had on the country, and not just the country, the whole world. And let us not forget, the guys who were on his team were from many, many socioeconomic racial groups, and they bonded together. And hey, don't forget either, Adam.
He lost and came back. And they were some of the most spectacular fights that we've ever seen. The boxing game has changed. I was lucky to see some of the best there ever was, and I believe Mr. Bert Sugar would back me up on that. Great show, Adam. I'll get off of here so we can listen to some of the other people. And I know your phones are ringing off the hook, buddy. Take care now.
Thanks,
Hang
Mark.
In there, heavy metal.
Good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Jake tweets me, AWOT, how are you forgetting about our American hero, Joey Chestnut? Donald, what do you think about that? Has he influenced the way you eat hot dogs?
I mean, I know a lot of people were bummed out. This was the first year he didn't compete in, like, since, like, I think 2005 or something like that. So
I actually think it was better to watch because you didn't know who was going to win.
Right.
I mean, with Joey. Now, I did see, though, this is the ultimate Joey Chestnut. He streamed himself doing his own competition outside of Nathan's. And he had like 57 hot dogs in 5 minutes, and I think somebody won with 58 in 10 minutes. So he's still the GOAT, but I'm not interested in his dumb Netflix special. I can't believe he didn't work it out with Nathan's. He had to promote a vegan dog and get himself knocked out of the competition. Come on, man. Do better than that. Dwayne tweets me, the most influential has to be Muhammad Ali. He has basically been adopted as a citizen of the world. Yeah, great point. Once again, my big three was MJ, and that's just because how much he influenced my life with my love for basketball, flying in the air, and style. Obviously, Babe Ruth. You know, I was watching The Sandlot last night. I feel like that's one of the best July 4th sports movies. In fact, Donald, let me just mention this. I went through a marathon the last few days of my favorite sports movies here on July 4th weekend. So I started with The Sandlot. I think a lot of people would agree, one of the greatest sports movies of all time.
Definitely.
And a really good July 4th one, because people forget that they light fireworks, and for the 10 minutes they're lighting fireworks, the kids run to the playground in the 50s where it took place, and they play backyard baseball using the fireworks as the lights in the background. So that's really cool. Next, I watched my favorite movie. I hope you can name it, Donald, with me just saying this. Quack, 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 quack. Quack!
Mighty
quack.
Ducks, baby.
Mighty Ducks, one of my favorites, Gordon Bombay. Make him make the first move, Conway. And then after that, I watched Invincible. Now, I do hate the Eagles, but Invincible is such a cool story. I'm 31 years old right now. It's the story of a 30-year-old bartender who makes the Philadelphia Eagles and plays in the NFL for 3 seasons. I mean, is that not inspiring or what, man?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love Invincible. That's a good movie. Can I throw a honorable mention? I haven't watched it in a while, but I was just thinking about sports movies. I love Coach Carter.
Yeah.
That's a really good inspirational story. I love Sam Jackson and his role in that. I'll throw an honorable
Tanning
mention.
Tanning Chatham's really good in that one, too.
Yep, he is. Yeah, so I'll throw an honorable mention for Coach Carter for me.
Yeah, you know, honorable mention, Remember the Titans has to be thrown out there as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It pisses me off when I drive to my dad's house, though. It doesn't say T.C. Williams. It says Alexandria City High School. I get it. Yeah, they wanted to change it, but there was something iconic about T.C. Williams, the school. Not T.C. Williams, the person, but T.C. Williams, the high school in Northern Virginia.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
And we were talking about Michael Jordan. I guess you got to throw Space Jam in there, right?
Oh, I can always watch Space Jam any day, any time. I refuse to watch Space Jam 2 again. I mean, my goodness. The villain was Algorithm. It was just so lame. LeBron, do better. Maybe Bronny James can come out with Space Jam 3 if he ever makes it to the league. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in, we'll keep the phone lines open. Most influential U.S. athlete of all time, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. Use that Odyssey app to support me during the week by searching 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. on the free Odyssey app, the app that gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. Happy 4th of July weekend from all of us here at The Fan. And you can help us answer this question. Who is the most influential U.S. athlete of all time? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Rod in Landover. Rod, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's up, man? To me, I would say two people. It's like 1A and 1B. One, I would say Muhammad Ali. You know, I mean, everything about Ali, his fighting style, talking trash, you know, the little rhymes he had, you know.
Yeah. No, trash talking is something that nobody else mentioned. Good part. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everything surrounding Muhammad Ali, the political issue that happened with him, I mean, fighting for him and over in Africa and having a whole country, maybe even a whole continent, you know, behind you like that. I mean, Ali, man, I would say Ali. And, of course, Michael Jordan. I mean, Jordan, I mean, when you think of Jordan, you almost think of perfection. You know, even though he's lost in the playoffs before, but when you think of him, I mean, he's never lost the finals, the greatest player to ever play. I mean, the tongue hanging, the style, the dunk contest. I mean, you name it. I would say the Jordan logo is probably the most recognized sports logo in the world. I can't think of a logo that's more. If anybody see that logo, I don't care what country you live in. If you see the Jordan symbol, you know it's Jordan. So I think it's Ali and Jordan.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. You're right about that Jordan logo. I mean, the only other logo I would argue is McDonald's, Nike, and Jordan. Yeah, good call, Rod. Let's keep it going here. We've got Junkyard Dog in D.C. What's going on, dude?
How you doing?
Good.
My three people to me is Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, and Jim Brown.
Okay. So talk to me about Jim Brown, Junkyard.
Well, Jim Brown, you know, even though he was individualistic, he always stood up for what he said.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when he got the gangs in California together, the Crips. And all that, or whatever, you know, nobody had ever attempted that.
Pretty amazing, especially the stuff he did as a civil rights activist.
Jordan, he was all right, but to me, Jordan was not the type guy to me. Now that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. That he had anything that he put on the line, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. And see, these guys that I'm talking about, they, to me, as a black man, they put their careers on the line.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. I appreciate you chiming in. We're going to keep it going here. We only got a few minutes left on the show. I want to give Anthony a chance to chime in on line two. Anthony in D.C., you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, how you doing, AWOD? This is Anthony. You already know Anthony from D.C., your future co-host and number one weekend caller, man. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. Who is your most influential U.S. athlete of all time?
Oh, it got to be the Michael Jeffrey Jordan, man. Not only is he a six-time champion and everything he did on the court, but just how he made marketing acceptable for everyone. I mean, from the time that he started, he showed athletes how to not only make money on the floor, but make money off the floor with restaurants and all the different sponsors and branding. I mean, every kid in the world was saying, I want to be like Mike. I respect Muhammad Ali for what he did and things of that nature, but it had to be unequivocally 100% Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
I appreciate the call, man. You're not going to hear me arguing against Jordan. I mean, I love that man so much. Yeah, a caller said it earlier, perfection. That's what I think about with Michael Jordan. I dream that I could fly through the air like MJ. Let's go to G from the shop, line one. What's going on, G?
Oh, yeah. Hey, wow, my man. Everybody named the obvious, you know, always going to be Mike. I at least set the standard before everybody. And Magic Johnson took it to another level off the court with the business. you know, overcoming all his obstacles. But my number one is a hometown homie. God rest his soul, Lenny Bias, man. Lenny Bias is the reason I never tried cocaine in my life, man, because I knew he was the number one stud from this area. And it took my man out right after he got took by the Celtics, man. So it's got to be Lenny Bias.
Did you ever get to see Lenny? Did you ever get to see Lenny Bias play?
I'm an 82 baby.
Uh-huh.
So he died when I started remembering sports.
Yeah.
But I remember all them news stories. I remember when his little brother got killed, man. Rest in peace, Jay Bias. You know, got to show love to the homies and what he meant to me coming from this area. You know, this was crack city. This was the murder capital, man, because of that crack, man. So, man, it made me never want to try cocaine ever in my life, man. And Lenny Bias is the hero, my hometown hero, always going to be influential to me.
Well, I appreciate you chiming in. We've got a lot of really good callers, some really good responses on Twitter. Love throwing in that question out there, especially here on a July 4th weekend. Happy holidays, everybody. Appreciate you guys listening to the show. Before I get out of here, I just wanted to rant about fireworks real quick. I saw some fireworks on Thursday night that were fantastic. I walked out to the movie theater in my neighborhood and giant parking lot. Everyone had chairs set up to watch fireworks there not too far away. Then saw some last night. I'm going to see some more tonight. And it's just crazy because it's beautiful artwork in the sky. And it's funny because I was talking to my friend about how I don't talk about fireworks 330, maybe 340 days a year. But this July 4th weekend, you know, the week leading up to this, the week after this, it's like all I think about. How do I make them? Where can I go buy them illegally? How do you know what it's going to look like when it pops? Who has the best? What makes it the best? What's your favorite? Donald, what is your favorite firework? For me, it's absolutely a big, colorful one. And then you know how like it has a second pop and it sounds like popcorn and it's like bright white. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I always like when they do kind of like the finale at the end, you know, they'll shoot them off kind of one at a time and then they just like go crazy at the end. That's I always like the finale like portion of it.
I think the more colors that they have, the cooler it is. I think for some reason, the last fireworks I saw, the green just popped so much more than everything else. That was awesome. The red always looks cool. And then, like I've been saying, I love the white when it brights. It's really bright and it popcorns like that. But it is really cool. Like, the more that they can get in the sky, the best. Like, the grand finale is always great when it's, like, 10 at the same time. But they almost, like, are on top of each other and overlap and mess with the sight. I think it's almost better sometimes where it's like three at a time here to the left, three at a time to the right,
one
up the middle, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So if you haven't seen some fireworks this weekend, get out there tonight. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to Donald for running the ones and twos. I'll see you guys next Saturday on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. Use that Odyssey app to support me during the week by searching 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. on the free Odyssey app, the app that gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. Happy 4th of July weekend from all of us here at The Fan. And you can help us answer this question. Who is the most influential U.S. athlete of all time? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Rod in Landover. Rod, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's up, man? To me, I would say two people. It's like 1A and 1B. One, I would say Muhammad Ali. You know, I mean, everything about Ali, his fighting style, talking trash, you know, I mean, the little rhymes he had, you know.
Yeah. No, trash talking is something that nobody else mentioned. Good part. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everything surrounding Muhammad Ali, the political issue that happened with him. I mean, fighting, forming over in Africa and having a whole country, maybe even a whole continent, you know, behind you like that. I mean, Ali, man, I would say Ali. And, of course, Michael Jordan. I mean, Jordan, I mean, when you think of Jordan, you almost think of perfection. You know, even though he's lost in the playoffs before, but when you think of him, I mean, he's never lost the finals, the greatest player to ever play. I mean, the tongue hanging, the style, the dunk contest. I mean, you name it. I would say the Jordan logo is probably the most recognized sports logo in the world. I can't think of a logo that's more. If anybody see that logo, I don't care what country you live in. If you see the Jordan symbol, you know it's Jordan. So I think it's Ali and Jordan.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. You're right about that Jordan logo. I mean, the only other logo I would argue is McDonald's, Nike, and Jordan. Yeah, good call, Rod. Let's keep it going here. We've got Junkyard Dog in D.C. What's going on, dude?
How you doing?
Good.
My three people to me is Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, and Jim Brown.
Okay. Talk to me about Jim Brown, Junkyard.
Well, Jim Brown, you know, even though he was individualistic, but he always stood up for what he said.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when he got the gangs in California together, the Crips. And all that, or whatever, you know, nobody had ever attempted that.
It's pretty amazing, especially the stuff he did as a civil rights activist.
To me, Jordan, he was all right, but to me, Jordan was not the type guy to me. Now that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. That he had anything that he put on the line, or whatever,
yeah.
You know. See, these guys that I'm talking about, they, to me, as a black man, they put their careers on the line.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. I appreciate you chiming in. We're going to keep it going here. We only got a few minutes left on the show. I want to give Anthony a chance to chime in on line two. Anthony in D.C., you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, how you doing, AWOD? This is Anthony. You already know Anthony from D.C., your future co-host and number one weekend caller, man. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. Who is your most influential U.S. athlete of all time?
Oh, it got to be the Michael Jeffrey Jordan, man. Not only is he a six-time champion and everything he did on the court, but just how he made marketing acceptable for everyone. I mean, from the time that he started, he showed athletes how to not only make money on the floor, but make money off the floor with restaurants and all the different sponsors and branding. I mean, every kid in the world was saying, I want to be like Mike. I respect Muhammad Ali for what he did and things of that nature, but it had to be unequivocally 100% Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
I appreciate the call, man. You're not going to hear me arguing against Jordan. I mean, I love that man so much. Yeah, a caller said it earlier, perfection. That's what I think about with Michael Jordan. I dream that I could fly through the air like MJ. Let's go to G from the shop, line one. What's going on, G?
Oh, yeah. Hey, wow, my man. Everybody named the obvious, you know, always going to be Mike. I at least set the standard before everybody. And Magic Johnson took it to another level off the court with the business, you know, overcoming all his obstacles. But my number one is a hometown homie. God rest his soul, Lenny Bias, man. Lenny Bias is the reason I never tried cocaine in my life, man, because I knew he was the number one stud from this area. And it took my man out right after he got took by the Celtics, man. So it's got to be Lenny Bias.
Did you ever get to see Lenny Bias play?
I'm an 82 baby.
Uh-huh.
So he died when I started remembering sports.
Yeah.
But I remember all them news stories. I remember when his little brother got killed, man. Rest in peace, J Bias. You know, got to show love to the homies and what he meant to me coming from this area. You know, this was crack city. This was the murder capital, man, because of that crap, man. So, man, it made me never want to try cocaine ever in my life, man. And Lenny Bias is the hero, man. Hometown hero, always going to be influential to me.
Well, I appreciate you chiming in. We've got a lot of really good callers, some really good responses on Twitter. Love throwing in that question out there, especially here on a July 4th weekend. Happy holidays, everybody. Appreciate you guys listening to the show. Before I get out of here, I just wanted to rant about fireworks real quick. I saw some fireworks on Thursday night that were fantastic. I walked out to the movie theater in my neighborhood and giant parking lot. Everyone had chairs set up to watch fireworks there not too far away. Then saw some last night. I'm going to see some more tonight. And it's just crazy because it's beautiful artwork in the sky. And it's funny because I was talking to my friend about how I don't talk about fireworks 330, maybe 340 days a year. But this July 4th weekend, you know, the week leading up to this, the week after this, it's like all I think about. How do I make them? Where can I go buy them illegally? How do you know what it's going to look like when it pops? Who has the best? What makes it the best? What's your favorite? Donald, what is your favorite firework? For me, it's absolutely a big colorful one, and then you know how like it has a second pop and it sounds like popcorn and it's like bright white. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I always like when they do kind of like the finale at the end, you know, they'll shoot them off kind of one at a time and then they just like go crazy at the end. That's I always like the finale like portion of it.
I think the more colors that they have, the cooler it is. I think for some reason, the last fireworks I saw, the green just popped so much more than everything else. That was awesome. The red always looks cool. And then, like I've been saying, I love the white when it brights. It's really bright and it popcorns like that. But it is really cool. Like, the more that they can get in the sky, the best. Like, the grand finale is always great when it's, like, 10 at the same time. But they almost, like, are on top of each other and overlap and mess with the sight. I think it's almost better sometimes where it's like three at a time here to the left, three at a time to the right,
one
up the middle, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So if you haven't seen some fireworks this weekend, get out there tonight. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to Donald for running the ones and twos. I'll see you guys next Saturday on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.